Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's the program Covered Pearls and you're with me, Zakira and Sarmia. Yes, it's a Monday afternoon and on this Monday afternoon, inshallah, we will be discussing some beautiful ayat of the Quran, followed by an article from the news which really caught my eye. And inshallah, we will unpack this ayah using some Quranic ayat as well. We will unpack this article rather, this news article, using some Quranic ayah. And then we know that in the program, we normally discuss pious women from our past who have definitely taught us a lesson. And in this month of Rabiul Akhir, I thought that it was fit that we discuss the mother of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh, as we know him to be the saints of Baghdad, or the man who was the reason why so many Hindus of Baghdad became Muslim. He was responsible for their reversion to Islam. And so I thought, let's look at who was the one that made this Sheikh's tarbiyah, who brought him up, and what were the values that he was brought up with. So yes, that's where we will be that's what we will cover as well in the program this afternoon. And to start off the program, we normally start off with some tafsir, and today's tafsir we will be discussing will be the tafsir we normally hear this ayah at marriages, at nikah, at walimah, etc. It's the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about men and women being like garments unto one another. So inshallah we'll be going through the various meanings of this ayah and what it can, what connotation it has in our daily life. And then like I mentioned to you in last week's program, that from the month of, or at least from the year 2016, from the very first program we had, we've changed our female masail segment a little bit, in that we now don't discuss female masail only during the female masail segment, but rather due to some queries that have come in with regards spirituality and spiritual maladies, etc., I've decided to incorporate that into our female masail segment. So yes, on a bi-weekly basis, 1 week we will discuss regular female masail, that is with regards hayd, nifas, istihada, the salah for female, umrah, whatever it may be, with regards theme discussions as the year goes on. And at the same time, we will also be discussing some spiritual maladies and how to overcome these on a bi-weekly basis. And alhamdulillah, I've got with me a beautiful compilation of the discourses of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah, and inshallah this is where I take those discussions from. So it's really beautiful to see how Hazrat Maulana Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, really worked into the depths of the heart and how he brought about these answers. And you know, when you read through them, you can understand that these were not simple things that came from him, you know, having just read over the person's query, but rather these came from many years of experience with working with people on these things. It's almost like a doctor, you know. The more experience they have in the field, the better they get at diagnosing a patient. So similarly with Maulana Sahib's, you know, answers that he gives here, it's so beautiful, really, that when I read through them, there are moments that you just stop and you ponder and you reflect and you think, subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed different people in different ways indeed. So yes, without any further ado, let's go for the first ad break of the hour. And when we return, we will be discussing our tafsir from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 187, inshallah. It's the tafsir segment on the program Covered Pearls. And this tafsir segment is entitled, Through the Eyes of a Muslimah. Due to our listenership being predominantly female, we discuss most of the tafsir ayat with the Muslima in mind, and hence a lot of what I mention is, you know, rules and regulations or life lessons that the Muslima could keep in mind. So inshallah, today will be no different. We will be looking at Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 187. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Sadaqallahul azim. In this beautiful ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they, the women folk, are clothing unto you, O men folk, and you are closing unto them. Now, when we look at this ayah, it is a comparison. And this comparison indicates that between husband and wife, there is a very strong and deep relationship. We know that clothing are such that they sit on the skin. So this is how the relationship that we have. It is a very close bond. It is one of proximity. This is only possible, though, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By virtue of this intense relationship, it now becomes easy for a couple to fulfill each other's rights. Because we know that the closer a couple are, the more easier it is for you to then understand the person. The more easier it is for you to bond with the person, to go down to their level. And, you know, often what happens between husband and wife is you also get this mental telepathy. So you're thinking of something and your husband's thinking of exactly the same thing. And subhanAllah, it actually brings smiles to your faces at times when, without actually saying anything, you know, it happens normally even when you're at family functions. You know, you can just look at each other and you send a message across the room that's more powerful than words could even speak. So subhanAllah, this happens when you have bonded with the person. And often the bond between a husband and wife is so strong that it is as though two hearts of two different people are now living in one being. And by this happening, what then happens is, by this formation, what then happens is these two people become inseparable. That even when you're apart, you're constantly thinking about the other person. You're thinking about their happiness. You're thinking about their comfort. You're thinking about how you can make things as pleasurable and as easy for them as possible. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likens it to garments, likens the union of this couple to garments unto one another. Because this garment is there for your pleasure. So when you choose out a garment in a department store, often what happens is you go into the fitting room and you ensure that it's the perfect fit. You don't take a size that's too big nor too small, because too small would lead to discomfort. Too big would also lead to some sort of discomfort where you wouldn't feel like it looks, you know, it fits you appropriately. You don't look as classy in it, or you don't look as good in it. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has likened it to garments, because we know that when we buy a garment from a store, or we have a garment tailored for that matter, we ensure that it's a perfect fit. When we sought out the spouse, we also ensured that they were perfect for us. You know, through halal means we, perhaps if you were a younger person, you went with your family, you went with your mom and dad over to their house, and you sat and, you know, as they call it, the samosa run over a cup of tea. You got to know the person better. You got in a conversation a little bit, and you got to know what were that person's likes and dislikes. And from this little bit of interaction, you then made up your mind whether you wanted to get married to the person or not. Or perhaps if it's a second marriage, or, you know, it's a person who's a bit older, then without, you know, a wali or whatever it may be, this is the male now I'm speaking about, he'd go and he'd ask for the sister's hand in marriage. And then too, in the presence of the sister's wali, be it her brother or her father, he'd get to know her a little bit. He'd ask her a few questions by which he would then be able to gauge her personality. And the reason we do this, and the reason that Islam has allowed this, is for this purpose that is mentioned in this ayah, that the person that you are marrying becomes like a garment unto you. So you want to ensure that this person is a perfect fit. SubhanAllah, you know, this is only one dimension of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term libas. Another dimension of it is because when we look at clothing, the comparison, the second comparison that I want to make is that clothing covers our body. And when something is covering your body, you don't necessarily see what is beneath that clothing. There may be scars, there may be blemishes on the person's body, but you see none of that. Likewise, when two people come together, they make this mutual promise to one another not to divulge the other person's blemishes, not to divulge the other person's shortcoming, their faults and their flaws to others, to all and sundry. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has even gone to the extent, and this is why, when you ponder about Islam and its beauty, you realize that subhanallah, Islam left no stone unturned in making us understand what our religion really is all about. You know, because when even it came to the bedroom, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us the worst of people is, or the worst of persons is that man who spends the night with his spouse and then he goes out the next day speaking of what happened in their bedroom to his friends and to his associates. So like this, if Islam has gone to the length of telling a person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith tells the man, or tells the lady for that matter, it goes both ways, it works for both spouses, that you shouldn't divulge these bedroom stories, then necessarily, then definitely, what Islam is also teaching us is that nothing of what happens behind closed doors should be divulged. So it doesn't necessarily have to be bedroom stories, but it could even be something as simple as, you know, an argument that you had or some disagreement that you may have had. Now, initially, when you are married, we know that you know, when you are a bit younger and you go through these, as they would call it, the first year stumbling blocks, you know, the first year of marriage often is a little bit of a rocky ride because you're still getting to know the person, you're getting to understand them and all these type of things. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we need to go out to our parents even and we need to discuss these things with them. The best thing, in my own opinion, after many years of marriage, alhamdulillah, is that you sort out these things in your own home. You sort out these things first of all with your own spouse. You sit down as two adults and you get to the bottom of it. And most times you end up laughing over it, because what may have seemed something really, really, you know, important or really, really difficult to understand about the other person suddenly becomes something so easy, and then you see what that person's point of view was, or then they see what your point of view was. Sometimes there are a little bit of tears that are involved also, because normally as females, you know, we get a little bit emotional in the whole discussion. But whatever it is, at the end of the day, as husband and wife, you get to understand each other. You get to see where the other person was coming from, and you get to understand their perspective. And often there's a few words of forgiveness that's shared, and you know, you get back together and you're happy once again, alhamdulillah. And nobody had to know what the problem was, nobody had to know the flaw of the other person, because it often happens that if the man is going to speak about his wife to his parents, then automatically they are going to see his perspective and see the flaw in the daughter-in-law. And if it's the other way about, it works the same. You know, if the lady is going to speak to her mom, moms and daughters are normally really close, and you know, sometimes you want to share this with your mom, she's not going to see your husband's side of it. She's just going to see it from your perspective and automatically see a flaw in your husband's character. Now here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we need to be libas to one another, we need to be like garments to one another, He is explaining to us that we need to conceal each other's faults. And this is one of the great ways that we can conceal each other's faults. So alhamdulillah, I think we've touched on a few examples or a few lessons that we learn from this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of man and woman, the spouses being like garments unto one another. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq and the ability to practice on this inshallah. We leave it at that for this week. And that's where we terminate our discussion of Through the Eyes of a Muslimah for this week, inshallah. Next week, we look at another ayah with some beautiful lessons for the Muslimah. It's now time for the ad break, the second ad break of the hour, that is. When we return, inshallah, we speak about the mother of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah.
Al-Tawheed Islamic Center is now introducing morning-only alim and qari courses, as this will facilitate to pursue secular degrees in the afternoon, and is now introducing full-time hifz together with homeschooling, with separate classes for boys and girls. Tuition offered by qualified teachers with GDE curriculum. Learners will receive personalized and individual attention. For more information, contact Maulana Amir Ismail on 076-259-6967 or Kari Bashir Patel on 084-786-5123.
Sedgar's, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing. For the lovers of functional art, try our Carol Boys range. Look at our exquisite furniture and linen department, tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgar's, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
This is a live program coming to you out of the beautiful city of Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. So whether you are listening to us via the medium wave frequency 1548 or whether you are listening to us via satellite or audio streaming, it's great being in your company this Monday afternoon. The interaction details for the program are as follows. You could send me a WhatsApp message on the number 061-406-2688. Or you could drop me an email on the email address ZA@radioislamlive.com. The Twitter handle is Covered Pearls or my Facebook page Zakira and Sarnia. You could also use Radio Islam's Facebook page and drop a message about the program. Your feedback, your whatever it may be, your interaction is most valuable on this program, Covered Pearls. Now, as I mentioned to you, this is the segment of the program where we discuss the various pious women of our past. In last year, we covered quite a few sahabiyat and their lives, what we learned from them. And subhanAllah, many of them had such great lessons to teach us. In this year, from the beginning of January, that is, we started looking into the lives of other great women, tabi'in, etc. In the past few weeks, we've covered the lives of Bishr Hathi and his sisters. And it was quite an interesting discussion seeing how his sisters had an impact on his life. And alhamdulillah, if we read who Bishr Hathi rahmatullah alayhi was, we'd learn that he was a great wali of his time. You know, a great scholar at that. So when we see how his sisters had an impact on his life, it sometimes really is amazing to note that these females had such a great impact on his life. But nonetheless, it doesn't end there. As there are more and more women from our past that we can learn so much from. It is the month of Rabiul Akhir. And hence, when I was doing some research, I came across the story of the mother of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayhi. Now, we know the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, or as he is known as the Saint of Baghdad, he was born and he passed away in this month of Rabiul Akhir. And it is therefore, you know, it is for this reason at least that we read about him a lot during this month, because various sectors of the community, you know, write articles about him during this month, commemorating, you know, his life and what sterling job he did, bringing so many Hindus to the fold of Islam during his short span that he spent in Baghdad, etc. But when we look at the actual, you know, the morals that the Sheikh had, then we realize that there must have been some tarbiyah that was behind all of this. There must have been something that, you know, that built him up to the type of person that he was. And subhanAllah, we then learn that his mother was the catalyst to the piety of this great Sheikh. And the tarbiyah came from her. Now we know that there is a saying that says the mother is the madrasa, the first madrasa of the child. She is obviously the one who takes care. The mothers out there would know, you take care of the little one as they're growing up. You know, you ensure that whatever they learn is wholesome. You bring them to a point where you make them understand that Allah is the one that provides for us, and so forth and so on. And like this, those little things that you're teaching them, even in their formative years, actually become stepping stones to them at least, later on in their life, becoming the type of Muslims, the type of flag bearers to our deen that they do become, subhanAllah. So to the mothers out there, keep up the sterling job that you're doing, because indeed, what is happening within your homes is something that is definitely not going to go unrewarded. Now, to highlight that, to highlight this great job that you are doing, and to show you how important it is, I thought that I'd discuss one story in particular about the mother of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh. Now, many of us may have read the story before or heard of the story before. I do know, alhamdulillah, being a teacher at the maktab, it is one of the stories that we teach our little ones from I think it's in the grade 2 or grade 3 textbook. But this story has such a proverbial lesson to teach us that, you know, even if we listen to it over and over again, the lesson is so profound. So it's the story of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani. He was a very young boy, and his mother found him to be a child that was a very avid reader. Now, this is something that we need to also encourage our children to do. We need to encourage them to read, right? Because reading teaches a child so much more than any other hobby can teach him. Now, long ago, when this young boy was, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani was a young boy, rather, there were no formative schools in the area that he was growing up in. So, because of there being no large schools in his area, and his father having passed away, he lived with his mother, and, his mother felt that she really wanted to make something of this young lad that she had. So she decided that she was going to send him to Baghdad, as Baghdad was known to be a city where there were famous schools and colleges and many great teachers. And, from what she had heard, many of these teachers had a great link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so she wanted her son to grow up being just like. She then decided that she was going to send him on a caravan, even though it was a long and arduous trip. She was going to send him on this caravan journey until he reached Baghdad, and there he could learn. So, she packed up her son, she got him ready, and whatever little savings that she had, she stitched it into the upper garment of his, and she sent him off. Bid him farewell, and so he left. Days went by, and this young lad was in good hands. You know, the people on the caravan ensured that they took good care of him because his mother had paid them to take care of him. The mother was a really, really, ardent worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she worshipped Allah day and night, read a lot of Quran, and she was also a mother who didn't just send her son off, but rather spent days and nights now praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ensure that her son had a safe passage to Baghdad, that when he reached there, he would be in the hands of these great luminaries, and these teachers would impart good knowledge to her son, and they would make something of him. They would turn him into a great scholar of his time. And so it is mentioned that it could partially be said that because of the great du'as of this mother, and also because of the way that she brought up her son, when the following incident took place, it left the robbers phased, but it left her son intact, unscathed, and in one piece. So yes, the caravan of the caravan in which Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani was traveling to Baghdad with was attacked by robbers. Now this was a common, something common that would happen, that the caravans would be looted and whatever the valuable possessions of the travelers were, it would be taken away. And this is why the mother of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani did what she did. She stitched the 40 Ashrafis, these gold coins, into the seam of the arm of his upper garment, a jacket that he was wearing. But when these robbers came and they began looting the caravan, they went around to each person and they asked for whatever they had. They finally came to this young lad. And thinking that he had nothing, they, passed a cursory question over him and they asked him, "What do you have?" And promptly he said, "I have 40 Ashrafis." The man looked at him, the leader of the robbers, and he said, "40 Ashrafis? Where would you have gotten that from?" He said, "Well, I am going to Baghdad. My mother is sending me there to study, and this money is for my education." The robber then began laughing and he said, "Really? And if that is the case, where is this money? Because you look like you have nothing on you." He said, "No, it is concealed. It is in the seam of my jacket." He took off his jacket and he placed it before the robber. The robber opened up this jacket and found the gold coins. So the robber said to the boy, "Tell me, young boy," and this was now in amazement. He said, "Tell me something. Are you a simpleton? Or is there something else to this? Because really, I am so amazed that without me asking much, you just gave it all away." And he said, "This is not because I am simple or I am silly, but rather my mother, as she was bringing me up, always taught me one lesson, and that is never to lie. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that lying leads to sin, and sinning will always lead to a bad ending. So I'm going out in search of knowledge. I don't want my, the good intention that I'm going with to be tainted in any way. And because my mother always taught me this lesson, I will never lie to you. If you want to take the gold coins, take it. Allah will make my passage to Baghdad for me some way or the other." And when he heard this deep and profound words from a young boy, this robber was absolutely taken aback. And even though he was the leader of the bandits, he immediately gave up his ways. He made tawbah and istighfar, returned the money to the young boy. With tears rolling down his cheeks, he embraced him and he sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said to the boy, "Please pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts my forgiveness." And to this the boy replied with again an amazing, amazing answer. And he said that when a person sincerely asks for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even asks the creatures, the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, to seek forgiveness for this person. So your intentions are there, and indeed I don't see any reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't forgive you. Join me and let's together go to Baghdad, and we shall both seek deeni knowledge that will benefit us both. And like this, this robber then left his ways of looting and stealing and all of this, and he also followed the path of knowledge. It's now time for us to go for the third ad break of the hour. Alhamdulillah, it's been an amazing story, and I'm sure many a lesson that we can gain from this beautiful story. When we return, we speak about the amazing article that I read, and I found that, it was something that I had to share with you. It's an article from the News24 website, so when we come back, about that and more. A brand new addition to the program Covered Pearls. Last week was our first installment of this addition to the program, and it's the addition in which we speak Muslima news. Well, the reason I've entitled Muslima news is because it's those stories in the media that catch my eye and that make me realize that, female stories or female discussions are out there in the media. It's just that sometimes we miss them because we don't really look at them with the eyes of Islam. Last week I brought to you the story of a Christian priest who stood up in his church and spoke to his congregation about the niqab and about why people who wear this shouldn't be sidelined and shouldn't be, this whole Islamophobic atmosphere is wrong. And this was a church in the UK, so we can understand how this must have come across. But subhanAllah, he was brave enough to have spoken about it. And the response that he received, believe it or not, was not all bad. There were people who actually agreed with him. So that was the story that we shared with you last week. This week's program, I'm going to speak about, the article is entitled, No Bursary if you refuse to discard your chastity before marriage. So yes, this is an article that appeared in the News 24 website, and I found it very, very interesting. It goes as follows. It says that if you lose your chastity before marriage, we'll take away your bursaries. This was the condition given to 16 young women who received the Maiden's Bursary Award from the Uthukela District Municipality in KZN for remaining pure. Now when I read this, I was wowed, I must say, because this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us in the Quran about not taking any boyfriends, and definitely this is before marriage. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the rules of chastity. And here, blatantly in the open, without fear of, without fear of what the repercussions would be, the municipal spokesperson, Jabulani Mkoza, says that 113 matriculants who cracked excellent grades, including these 16 girls, were spoken to. And these 16 girls were then chosen from these 113 matriculants. They had to ensure that they did not give up their chastity before marriage. But in addition to just, agreeing to this, they would have to undergo testing every holiday to ensure that they kept their word. The municipality introduced this new category of bursaries during its mayoral Matric Excellent Awards this January. He says that 16 of these bursaries went to the girls because of them having kept their chastity. However, in order to keep these bursaries, these girls would have to undergo these checkups, as I mentioned, every holiday. He says that these were bursaries intended to encourage young girls to stay pure and focus on their education. Busisiswe Lunga, who is from Joburg, has been conducting these testings for 11 years, she says. Her own 21-year-old daughter, who is at a university, is also still chaste, and she is regularly tested. Most of the young women contract AIDS, says Busisiswe. Their children then get infected on top of this, and the men who have infected them then leave them and choose not to stand by them and support them. They forget that they still have a long road ahead of them, and therefore this bursary is intended to encourage young women to look at the future instead of transitory pleasures. Professional counselor Yolanda Bird disagreed, saying that this testing could be stressful for the girls and it is seen as an invasion to their privacy. She added that what if it had not been something consensual, and therefore it is not fair because someone could have forced these girls into a compromising situation. But one of the bursary recipients from Escort in the KZN Midlands says that she is doing her second year in pharmacy, a degree that she is pursuing at the Nelson Mandela Bay University, and she says that she finds absolutely nothing wrong with this bursary. In fact, it has only encouraged her and spurred her on to concentrate on her studies. the woman who did not want to be named, says that she doesn't find another student who did not want to be named, says that she does not find anything wrong with being tested from time to time during her holidays. And she adds that she doesn't trust boys anyway. So this is why she chooses to remain, chaste. And this is how she has qualified for the bursary as well. So yes, that's where the article ends. But I'd like to share with you an ayah from the Quran which speaks to us about this. And, I found it quite amazing that this type of bursary actually came about, because in my opinion the Quran told us about something like this 1400 years ago. Now I speak about an ayah in Surah Nisa where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, it is ayah number 25 of Surah Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about men marrying those women who are muhsanat, who are chaste, but who are not free women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to marry the slave woman, and in those times marrying slave women was totally permissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَانْكِحُونَّ بِإِذْنِ أَهْلِهِنَّ, then marry them with the permission of their masters, وَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ, and ensure that you give them their dowry as well. And the rulings for giving a slave woman dowry is a bit different to a free woman. But nevertheless, the point that we are looking at in this verse is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Muhsanat ghayra musafihat, ensuring that they are chaste and they are not lewd women. Wala muttakhidati akhdan, and ensuring that they are not those who take boyfriends. Subhanallah. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us 1400 years ago. And I find it so amazing that alhamdulillah, even the non-Muslims of our society are now seeing the benefit of young women remaining chaste, young women keeping their chastity solely for after they get married and giving this as a gift to their husbands. It's so beautiful that they are now seeing what the Quran has told us 1400 years ago and what Islam wants from us as Muslim women. So now they will understand then that being Muslim is, it doesn't mean that you're being forced into anything, but rather it's because you feel special. That is the reason why you choose to remain this way and give your chastity to your husband when the time comes after you have been married. Alhamdulillah. Well, that's where we conclude this discussion for today. We have one last segment of the program remaining, and in this last segment of the program today, we will be speaking about spiritual maladies. This is the final segment of the program, Covered Pearls, and you're with me, Zakira and Sermia. Alhamdulillah, there is some feedback coming through, and yes, this is what I love about this program, where we can interact with one another via various mediums. You can either send me a WhatsApp message on 061-406-2688, or you could send me an email, za@radioislamlive.com, Twitter, Covered Pearls, Facebook, Zakira and Sermia, or you could also use Radio Islam's Facebook page to let me know what your feedback is with regards to the program. Now, I'd also like your feedback with regards to the new feature that we've added to the program, the new segment. Also, if you'd like to let me know if there's a certain news article that has caught your attention during the week that you feel would be great for us to discuss in the program, then by all means, feel free to let me know where the news article can be obtained, or you could email it to me as well. And inshallah, I will go through it and then share it with the listeners. So yes, all your feedback is very much appreciated and most welcome. Going on then, we go to our final segment of the program, and as I mentioned, this is our female Masail segment, but due to the sisters sending me various queries, not only those that are directly related to female Masail, Hayd, Nifas and Istihada, etc., I've decided to change the female Masail segment a little bit. So on a bi-weekly basis, we speak about the usual female Masail, and on the other week of the month, we speak about spiritual maladies that can crop up from time to time for a Muslima and how she can deal with these. Now, the correspondence I share with you is from a compilation of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayh. So, inshallah, whatever you are about to hear comes from a lot of experience and, you know, deep-rooted wisdom, etc. So, you know, it's really we can then use this advice in our life, inshallah. Well, the letter that was received went as follows. Respected Maulana, I have a question regarding Facebook and chat sites in general. What is the Shari'i perspective on a wife using Facebook to chat with friends from school and work, including non-Muslim male friends from her workplace? The wife's initial intention to get these chat sites was to catch up with female friends from her school days. The husband was not in much approval of it, due to the fear that non-mahram males would want to hear from her, and the husband, and because the husband trusted the wife, he allowed her. But now it's become such that there are many males who are interacting with her on this platform, and it is creating problems in their marriage. Is the husband being unjust? What should the husband say to the wife because he feels that she should now terminate these chat sites and social media? Okay. What should the husband say to the wife to make her understand? Jazakallah for your assistance. Okay, so this could either work both ways, I'd like to add. This may have been a query that had come in, but definitely it can work the other way as well. So just to have a brief discussion on either spouse having these social media networks. The answer given below is quite lengthy, so I've read through it and I've condensed it. Now, first of all, we must understand that any form of interaction with the opposite gender for a person who is married and with any form of interaction with a ghair mahrim is not allowed, whether it is the husband to other females or whether it is the wife with other males, right? For work purposes, within limit, that is obviously understandable, but again, when I say understandable and within limit, there are other ways of doing this. You know, you could send the person, or you could just call up the person and have a straightforward discussion. And when a female is speaking to a ghair mahram, there are ways and manners that she should be speaking, not in a friendly tone and not, you know, making unnecessary conversation. The basic direct things are all that needs to be said, right? So, obviously, if it is anything work-related, then this can be dealt with in this manner. But like this person is now mentioning over here, this is not work-related. This is to catch up or to get, or with it being, you know, friends from school, friends from the past. Then this is absolutely unnecessary because now the female has chosen to get married to somebody else and move on with her life. Why does she need to keep in touch with males from her past? This is, there is absolutely no need for this, and therefore the husband has the right to ask his wife not to interact with these females. As you know, in my own humble experience and from the bit of counseling that I do from time to time, I can tell you that these small things lead to bigger problems then. And it works both ways. I've had ladies tell me that, you know what, it all started off where my husband said to me that it was a colleague from work or it was a friend from his past that had sent him a random message just because she'd found him on Facebook and she hadn't heard from him in many years and she just wanted to know what he was doing. And like this, it led to other things. He found out that she was in his area, wherever they lived, and they met up for coffee, and like this, you know, one thing led to the other. So, and then before you knew it, you were in an illicit relationship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath was upon that home then, and things were going upside down, and, you know, subhanallah, it was so heartbreaking when sisters tell me of things like this. And I mean, a brother could be in the similar situation. The husband could be on the receiving end of a wife, perhaps getting into an illicit relationship. And these things all start with simple text messaging or Facebooking or whatever, and it's all because sometimes we forget our limits. And we lose the plot. And from having the social media. And just today, subhanAllah, I was asked to speak at a program. And one of the things that I mentioned was how we use social media. You know, so when we know that social media is a medium for interaction with other females, if we are female, or other males, if we are male, and more so when we take the use of social media for the purpose that it was created, to keep in touch, for purposes of work, for purposes of need, and we don't abuse social media, then automatically things will be kept in check and things will be kept in power. So at no point would this husband be wrong in stopping his wife from chatting on this form of social media. He would be, it would be his right, in fact, to ask her to stop. And the same would go for the wife. If she saw her husband texting or chatting with a female that was ghair mahram of his, then obviously she would have all the right to stop him from doing this. Because as I'm saying, that one thing could lead to the other, and before you know it, it could be totally out of control. You know, all of us feel the same way, that I am an adult and I know my limits. But subhanAllah, shaitan is always one that is there with us. And when a man and a woman that are not meant to be together, that are not joined in the bonds of marriage, and, you know, be it on texting or be it on any online chatting or whatever it may be, automatically shaitan puts these little, he tricks us and he gets us trapped. And before you know it, one thing has led to the other, and from a simple, innocent conversation, it has become something way out of your league. And now you don't know how to get yourself out of it. And then, you know, it goes into lying to the wife, because now you want to, you know, cover up for whatever you've done, or lying to the husband, whichever way it may work. So one thing leads to the next, leads to the next, and Allah forbid, before you know it, marriages break up like this. So let's try and ensure that we keep away from all such things, and we make dua always for our marriages to be safe, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all of this, inshallah. It's now time for me to bid you farewell. Alhamdulillah, we've come to a really a wholesome discussion on this program, Covered Pearls. We've touched many a topic, and it was quite a variety for all different, mindsets, whatever it may be that was on your mind. We've touched quite a few things, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. Let me know, send me your feedback, and let me know what you thought of the various discussions that we had. Until we meet next time on the same platform, Covered Pearls, Mondays 2 to 3, keep me in your du'as. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.